From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The Supreme Court says police may not use GPS devices to track suspects without a warrant. A second case the court has just decided focuses on whether states may make laws more stringent than federal law regarding how animals are handled at slaughterhouses. NPR's Nina Totenberg is at the Supreme Court. And Nina, can you tell us about the GPS case first?
In the modern age, there's been a very big and contentious law enforcement issue about whether law enforcement authorities need to get a warrant before they put a GPS tracking device on your car to follow you that way.
Now, I understand this case was decided after a suspect in Washington, D.C. was tracked by police who attached a GPS to his car. So the court is saying that police would have to have a warrant before doing something like that.
Yes, they attached the device for a month. They eventually located a stash house with 97 kilos of cocaine and almost $1 million in cash, and the guy was convicted and sentenced to life, and the Supreme Court reversed that conviction and said to the police and the FBI, you have to have a warrant before you do something like that.
Now, the court has also blocked a California law that responded to the concerns of Humane Society people and people concerned about the food supply. That law had required livestock animals that could not walk, that were not ambulatory at slaughterhouses, to be euthanized. What is the issue there?
Well, the issue is that there is a federal law about how to deal with livestock in these circumstances. And the question was, could California have a separate law? And the Supreme Court unanimously said, no, it can't, but the federal law spells out how to deal with what are called downed animals. But the Supreme Court said that the federal law preempts the state law. It trumps the state law.
NPR's Nina Totenberg at the Supreme Court. Nina, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
With the Republican presidential race going full steam in Florida, NPR's Mara Liasson reports Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney will square off in a debate tonight in Tampa.
Rick Santorum and Ron Paul will also be on stage, but the spotlight will be on what's become a two-man race. Gingrich, trying to build on the momentum of his South Carolina upset, will be back on what's become his friendliest turf, a debate stage where he can use the moderators as a foil for his attacks on the establishment elites. Romney will continue his attacks on Gingrich as a Washington insider whose speakership ended in disgrace. Romney's also tried to solve a problem that's caused him lots of trouble in the last couple of weeks. He's announced he'll be releasing his tax returns tomorrow. But he'll certainly face calls to release multiple years' returns, including the years when he was not busy running for president. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
A powerful storm has left two people dead in the Birmingham, Alabama area today. People think a tornado may have touched down. Storms hit several other states as well. Early trading in stocks, the Dow Jones Industrials up 10 points. This is NPR. European Union foreign ministers have approved a ban on oil imports from Iran. Terry Schultz reports from Brussels. The embargo will be phased in gradually as a compromise for some member states dependent on Iranian fuel.
EU officials say the immediate ban on new Iranian oil contracts, with a complete cutoff of all crude and petroleum-related business by July 1st, is designed to bring Tehran back to the negotiating table on its nuclear program. EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton, the international media with Iran, says the several-month transition period for the full embargo to take effect gives the regime a chance to choose negotiations over confrontation if it takes a serious approach.
It's very important that it's not just about the words. The meeting is not an excuse. The meeting is an opportunity, and I hope that they will seize it.
Foreign ministers also approved an asset freeze on the Iranian central bank. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Egypt's first parliament, elected in a post-Mubarak era, is holding its inaugural session, with Islamists comprising the overwhelming majority. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson is in Cairo, where crowds have gathered near the parliament building.
Hundreds, if not thousands, have gathered to show their support for this new parliament, to protest the new parliament in some cases, but most of all, to let them know that they're watching, that if this parliament does not deliver what people want, that they will take back to the streets again.
And that's NPR Soraya Sarhadi Nelson in Cairo. The lawmakers will be drafting a new constitution and addressing national security and economic issues as well. A presidential election in Egypt is expected for later this year. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.